Chapter 19. Cody has officially decided this is his least favorite planet in the galaxy. By a league. The Vornskers aren't interested in him, but not in a convenient way. All they do is treat him like a mandatory detour on their way to Mace. And Cody would object to that, but he's spent long enough dealing with Grievous and Ventress trying to break Obi-Wan's face in particular that it's kind of old hat. Which means, mostly, that he throws himself in their way and tries to shoot them before they can eat him, while Mace deals with the extras. It seemed like a better plan 5 minutes ago, Cody thinks, as very long, dripping teeth gnaw viciously at the body of his blaster. With a snarl, he gets a foot up against the Vornskur's belly, heaves and throws it sideways, then rolls to his feet and aims in the same motion. Takes the shot just as movement comes from behind him, doesn't curse even though he wants to, and dives forward to avoid the lash of a venomous tail as the second Vornskur closes. "How many?" he calls, and wishes for a vibroblade as he twists up to one knee and fires. The one that tried to grab him drops, but there are two behind it. And then Cody throws himself behind the sparse cover of a tree and aims. His shot drives them sideways, but they're quick. Know exactly what the blaster means already, even if they haven't seen one before. They dodge, and Cody wants to curse. "There were six," Mace says, not even out of breath. And the flash of a violet blade is the only sign of movement before he drops between the creatures. They turn on him, vicious and fast, but Mace is faster. He slides beneath one, lets it slam into the other, and then twists to his feet, driving his lightsaber through both in one stroke. Silence. Not entirely sure he trusts it, Cody takes two careful steps to the side, scanning the ruins. But he didn't see the Vornskurs coming the first time, and Mace shoving him out of the way was the only thing that kept him from getting eaten right off the bat. If there are any more lurking, he can't tell. "We're safe." Mace deactivates his lightsaber, then clips it to his belt, surveying the path leading out of the intersection they're in. "For now," Cody mutters, and Mace snorts quietly but doesn't argue. This is the second pack they've had to pick off, and Cody hopes Anakin appreciates the easy road they're leaving him. Hopes it is an easy road, considering what's at the end of it. "We should have about 9 hours of night left," he says, checking the sky. It's still just as dark and ominous as before, the growl of thunder never quite constant enough to be background noise. For the better, probably, even if it makes Cody twitchy. At least this way, he won't dismiss something he hears thinking it's the weather. "Too long," Mace says, but he turns to scan the streets between them and the Citadel, a constant looming image above their heads. "Too long to stay out here, or too long to hide if we break into the tower right now?" Cody asks wryly. Mace's mouth curves just enough to notice. "Yes." He tips his head towards a street that's mostly clear of overgrown rubble, lined with boggy grass and glowing fungus instead, and says, "This way seems best." Cody's willing to take his word for it. The paths all seem equally bad to him. Best as in the most Vornskurs or the fewest? Even as he says it, though, he follows Mace across the sucking ground, trying not to sink too deep in the mud, and eyes the shells of empty buildings with distrust. "I don't sense any around us," Mace says after a moment, and skirts a patch of fungus that's particularly bright. "If there's another pack hunting, it hasn't noticed us yet." "And hopefully won't," Cody thinks with a grimace. He shoulders his blaster, then takes a few quick steps to fall in beside Mace, now that the path is wide enough, and says, "What's this way?" Mace raises a brow at him, more amusement than anything, if Cody can read his face right. "It's the path between other dangers." Right, because there are more than enough of them out here to make life interesting. With a grimace, Cody sidesteps a small stream and says, "There's probably somewhere we can hole up out here." "Not in this section of the city," Mace says grimly. When Cody casts him a sideways look, he nods at where the streets open out, becoming wide and swampy like a stalled river. On either side, the looming buildings give way to the ruins of what once were probably fancier homes, gated and walled off. "Residences," Mace says. "If highly placed Sith lived here, they probably booby-trapped the hell out of everything," Cody finishes for him unhappily. "Great." "Sith are inconvenient," Mace says dryly, though his gaze lingers on the crest set into one of the listing gates. "Even when they're dead."
"Well dead, hopefully,"
Cody mutters, sweeping their surroundings again. The very edge of the road seems dry enough, and he takes the lead, switching the helmet lights on now that there aren't Vornskers right on their tail. "So where exactly are we? You said you had an idea, right?" For a long moment, Mace doesn't answer. Then, with a quiet, almost resigned breath, he says, "The Jedi collected records the Sith left after the fall of their empire, but some things were lost, or hidden from us. By the time the Old Republic defeated their forces, and the Emperor and his council had been killed, all record of his seat of power had been erased."
"Like Kamino," Cody thinks grimly. "And this planet?"
"Dromund Kaas. I assume so,"
Mace says, a little blander than normal. Cody's taking that to mean the same as anyone else's droll.
"Korriban is supposed to be much drier."
He leaps a fallen pillar, half submerged, and strangled in river weeds, and lands lightly on a patch of ground that's just big enough to stand above the water. If Cody had tried something like that, he'd probably have hit a sinkhole and ended up submerged to his neck. Like someone who isn't exempt from the laws of both gravity and probability, Cody slogs around the far end of the pillar, passing a little too close to the edge of another estate for comfort. It's hard to tell where the fence used to be. A tree with strangling roots has overwhelmed the whole thing, leaving a handful of cracked stones and not much else. Beyond it, low and dark and sprawling, a house stands, halfway collapsed and gloomy, the darkness under fallen archways complete and unrelieved.
"I guess if you were going to stake out a Sith planet to play Emperor on, a lost planet's not a bad idea,"
Cody mutters. Out of the corner of his eye, he thinks he catches movement across his HUD. But when he turns his head in that direction, the lights don't pick up anything. A shadow from the lightning, he decides after a moment, and breathes out, ordering himself not to be so jumpy. Mace is silent for long enough to be alarming. When Cody glances up at him, concerned, he looks grim, his mouth is a flat line. Feeling the weight of Cody's gaze, he looks over, then turns his eyes forward again and says,
"Even if it's a lost planet, that doesn't mean it's uninhabited. If anything, the arrival of someone would suggest otherwise."
"Right," Cody thinks, cold. "That courier ship has to be here for a reason, and odds are it's not for them. There was no search pattern back near the crash site, no attempt to calm them, just an arrival, a landing in the Citadel. Like the ship knew exactly where to set down and how to get there. And if this is a lost planet, that reduces the odds of it being a rescue by a vast amount. Cody has faith that Obi-Wan is going to be looking for them, but space is vast, and even Obi-Wan can't know where to look without help."
"Think they'll end up stranded here when we steal their ship?" Cody asks, trying for optimism. "That could solve a lot of problems."
Mace snorts softly.
"I certainly wouldn't object," he says,
turns his head just slightly, but his eyes narrow. Somewhere in Cody's chest, there's a sinking sensation. "We are being watched," he says, "and it's not a question."
"I feel no minds around us,"
Mace says, but his gaze flickers ahead of them, like he's judging the distance to safety. And then, sharply, he comes to a full halt. Cody has his blaster up before he can even turn his head in that direction. Nothing in the path, nothing lurking, but with a deep hum, a violet blade ignites, just as a crackle behind them makes Cody hiss. He spins as Mace steps between him and the sound. And for an instant, all Cody can see is lightning, splitting the sky, splitting the air in a wash of dark brilliance. He recoils hard, but like it's leaping to a grounding metal, the lightning crashes against Mace's lightsaber and dies. In a spray of fading sparks, Mace straightens and says, "Unexpected." Cody can't even manage that much, stunned, speechless. He stares at the figure just raising its hand again. Not a living creature, not anything Cody has seen before, but bones and scraps of rotted flesh and mummified skin, wrapped in dark robes that do nothing to hide its strangeness. It lurches forward like a puppet on unfamiliar strings, and lightning crackles from bony hands.
Sith lightning! Sith zombie! Cody Criffing hates this planet!
He dives sideways, rolls up, aims. His blast takes the zombie in the skull, shatters bone, but it doesn't falter. It lunges at Mace, more lightning pouring from its hands. And Mace curses, ducks sideways, comes up as more power shatters past him. His blade sweeps across, is met by a flare of lightning, skims the fragments of skull as the zombie grabs. The heel of his hand catches the remaining edge of the skull, and he slams it down into the water with a crack like thunder. When Mace rises, the zombie doesn't.
"What was that?"
Cody manages, getting his feet under him. Belatedly, he turns, scanning the area again, and can't see anything. Not that that means much, apparently.
"The guardian of a Sith's tomb," Mace says grimly, shaking out his hand.
When Cody takes a step towards him, alarmed, he gives him a sideways look, but doesn't protest, Cody grabbing his hand and dragging it up to see the damage. The skin looks scorched, burned, and Cody grimaces. It would have been the closest thing to the lightning, and clearly deflecting it isn't quite as simple as blocking a blaster bolt.
"You need Bacta for that," he says, but Mace shakes his head. "Unless you're carrying a supply, it can wait until we get back to Kix," he says, though he doesn't pull away. "We have other things to worry about right now."
Cody was afraid of that. Following the line of Mace's gaze, he turns and grimaces at the sight of swarming shadows all across the street behind them.
"They must be lost," he says. "This doesn't look much like a tomb to me."
Mace snorts, but raises his lightsaber as the first section of the shadows parts. Cody's helmet lights, reflecting off bare bone.
"This whole planet is their tomb," he says. "Either we stepped wrong, or we're not the ones who woke them."
Cody strangles a groan.
"Equal odds whether it was Anakin or Fives who touched something they shouldn't have," he mutters, and gives his blaster a glance.
It's worse than useless against people who are already dead, and he wants to curse.
"Stand and fight?"
Mace hesitates, eyeing the first zombie as it stumbles closer. Then, reluctant, he shakes his head.
"Deflecting lightning while ankle-deep in water isn't the best idea."
Cody concedes that, and as the zombie raises its hand, he grabs Mace and hulls him sideways. Ahead several meters, and then sharply sideways, down a narrow street overgrown with tall reeds. Behind them, lightning crackles, but it can't bend around corners just yet.
"Where?" he asks Mace, because he doesn't have instincts attached to an omnipresent universal force.
Without a word, Mace turns, down the next street where it's blocked by a fallen statue, huge even lying on its side. Cody slows, ready to take a different path, but there are sounds behind them, closing in, and he grimaces, stops. An arm wraps around his waist, and with a hard leap, Mace throws them both into the air, twisting over at the top of the arc. His lightsaber catches a flicker of diffused lightning, but the things are too far away to be more of a threat, closing too slowly to catch them, and they land on the far side of the statue with a thump.
"Sorry," Mace says, releasing Cody and stepping away. "I know you don't like acrobatics."
"I like them more than getting hit with Sith lightning," Cody says frankly, and picks up a run again. Mace right beside him. "Citadel?" Mace grimaces.
"If any members of the Dark Council died in the building, they'll likely have been used in the same spell."
"Spell," Cody mutters. "Sith magic. He hates everything about this on principle." The curve of Mace's smile is only just visible as they push through the branches of several leaning trees.
"The Jedi never could quite get rid of the Sith sorcerers fast enough."
Cody thinks of using dead bodies like that, turning them into things that move and hunt and fight. A blaster bolt to the head didn't even bother the thing. "Heck," he mutters, and follows Mace around another corner. A building has crumbled across the street, but there's a narrow gap they can push through between the stone and fungus-covered wall, and on the other side, a temple. Tall, squared off, and looming. It perches at the edge of a sudden cliff like a threat, and light burns inside the windows. Out of the darkness, hands still wrapped in mummified flesh clutch the top of the wall, and a form slithers over, landing with a thud. Then another, a third, a fourth. Cody turns, putting his back to Mace's, and faces the forms pulling themselves forward. There are no side streets here, no ways out except through, and he swallows a curse.
"I guess we're standing and fighting after all."
Mace is perfectly calm, perfectly composed as he turns, facing the oncoming creatures with his lightsaber at his side.
"It seems we are,"
he allows, and flicks a glance at Cody, eyes his blaster for a moment, and then says,
"Do not let them break the skin."
"What, or I'll turn into one?" Cody mutters, meaning it as a joke.
But Mace just gives him a look, very clearly serious, and he stops short.
"What, really?"
"They leave traces of the Sith alchemy that created them in whatever wounds they make,"
Mace says, and Cody blows out an aggrieved breath.
"Of course they do," he says, disgusted. "Sith!"
Lightning crackles and Mace smiles, just faintly.
"At least," he says gravely, "after this honeymoon, your expectations for the rest of our marriage will be perfectly manageable."
"Oh, so that was your plan?"
Cody sees the first spark of lightning and jerks back, but Mace steps between them, catching it on his blade.
"I should have thought of that first."
It's easy to see the effort redirecting lightning takes. Mace's eyes narrow, his mouth thins, and Cody can see the way tendrils of it curl across his hands, leap up his arms. Through it, though, he grits his teeth and then says,
"You have the equivalent of a Sith planet to strand us on. I'm impressed."
"Sounds like you're implying something," Cody retorts,
and his shot hits one of the approaching zombies square in the chest. It staggers, falls, but a moment later, it pulls itself to its feet, and Cody grimaces.
"Only that I would be impressed with your creativity if you could match zombies," Mace says.
And as the lightning dies away, he flickers forward, almost too fast to see. There's a blur of violet and a crack, and the zombie crumples, split vertically in half. Cody catches his breath, but Mace spins between two of the creatures as they grab him, leaps over a spray of dark lightning, drops, lashes out. He's quick, and Cody's seen him fight before, saw it up close against the Vornskers. But there's something right now that's more brutal, more fluid, more graceful, Not holding back, Cody thinks, and he's enjoying it. He likes fighting in a way Obi-Wan rarely enjoys his encounters. There's a ruthlessness to each blow, not vicious, but sharp. And Cody watches the curve of his body as he rises, the way he twists out of reach and leaps and lands, and it's just different. It's different. Different from watching Obi-Wan fight, even if Cody can't put into words how it is. His blaster won't be of any help here, and it grates, but Cody keeps to the edges of the fight, watches Mace catch lightning with one eye on their surroundings, sees the shadows move, dancing from the scattering light, and aims at them, not ready to trust the instinct that he's just seeing things. Looks careful, and sees the ground shift half an instant before something massive erupts right out of the earth. With a warning shout, Cody fires again, but the thing doesn't even pause, and Cody gets one half-second flash of a gaping mouth, spines, teeth. He almost manages to dive out of the way, but he's half a second too slow. The impact feels like getting hit by a speeder, even through his armor. Something sharp drives through his left arm, grating across bone, and Cody can't help a cry as he's carried backward by the thing's momentum, a loud crack sounding close to his ears as his blaster is caught by a vast jaw. His back hits glass, head rattling in his helmet, but it gives way with a great crash as Mace shouts. Cody gets a half-second glimpse of him turning, lightning leaping for him, Mace falling. His back hits stone somewhere dark, and the thing in his arm comes loose with a wrench that makes stars erupt behind his eyes. There's no time for pain. Cody rolls, comes up with the butt of his shattered blaster swinging, and slams it against the mouth that grabs for him. It recoils just for an instant, but that's enough. Cody hurls himself behind the closest cover, ducking down behind dark stone, and it rattles under the impact of the thing. There's a high, keening hiss, and Cody swallows a curse, looks around. He's in the temple, all black stone and glass and burning torches. There's a doorway leading deeper into the building right behind him. The thing that caught him hisses again, and stone cracks. Cody catches half an instant's glimpse of dark spines and massive teeth and beady eyes, a long, serpentine body, sees it rear up like it's going to strike. That's more than enough to decide him, and he throws himself through the doorway a moment before the stone gives way with a great crash. The thing hits the edge of the door, but Cody dodges left, leaps down a set of wide stairs, and hears it follow. The rasp of a huge body breaking stone as it pushes right through the doorway. Heck, Cody mutters, searching desperately for cover, and finds it in a heavy black door. There's a keypad beside it, but when Cody slams a hand against it, there's a click. The door swings open with a creak, and Cody ducks through, slams it behind him. It doesn't lock. Of cripping course. The door slams open right at his heels, and Cody spots the second set of stairs just in time to dodge a lunge. The thing's head crashes into a wall, shaking the whole room, and Cody leaps around it, takes the steps four at a time, and rebounds off a wall to land at the base, just far enough ahead to grab the closest torch and spin, swinging it like a weapon. He barely has time to aim, but it's enough. The lit torch stabs at the thing's eye, and it recoils with a hissing scream that would break glass. Cody doesn't take the time to savor the victory. There's another doorway, this one vast and standing open, but it's a direction that's not into the thing's mouth, so Cody takes it, bolting into the wide chamber and ducking to the side. The thing, some kind of worm but vast, plunges past him, twisting into the chamber until there are coils and coils of dark, snake-like body filling the room. It rears up, hissing, teeth dripping, and mouth wide, and Cody really, really hates every last damn thing about this planet in general, and the Sith in particular. Past the worm, along the far wall, something bright catches the light from Cody's helmet, and he takes a breath. Good enough, he thinks grimly, and lifts the torch. Hey, ugly, he calls, and the worm hisses angrily. It lunges, not the controlled strike of a snake, but an attempt to crush Cody beneath its weight and force. No matter how fast it is, though, Cody's smaller, and he dives to the side, rolls up, lashes out. The torch hits the dark purple skin, but doesn't go out. And Cody swings again as the worm recoils, turns, grabs for him. He leaps back, dodging the head, sees a flicker of movement out of the corner of his eye, and can't quite avoid the lash of the spine-tipped scale. The blow catches him across the head, and he's thrown back, hits the ground hard as his helmet comes loose, and hauls it off as the HUD dies with a crackle. Comes to his feet, slams the worm's head away with the torch, and grabs a spine as it twists in pain, flinging himself up and over its back. It shrieks, furious, but Cody doesn't turn as it slithers around to follow. Instead, he lunges for the dark throne sitting on the dais, for the statue of a man seated before a golden sarcophagus, and the sword that's held loosely in stone hands. The blade comes loose easily, double-bladed, sharp. There's a twisted guard around the hilt, a strange lightness even though the blade is long, and Cody holds it free, turns, and brings it down hard just as the worm grabs for him. It cuts through plated flesh like air, and the worm screams. Not about to question his luck, Cody twists past its snatching bite, shoves his torch into the closest eye, and as it recoils, he drives the sword right through the closest part of its neck, then wrenches down. There's a splatter of noxious blood, and with a crash, the worm hits the ground, body convulsing. Cody leaps back out of the way of its death throes, just barely missing the tail that sweeps up and around and down, cracking the sarcophagus. One more wrench and it goes still. But from within the coffin, there's a groan. "Oh, come on!" Cody hisses, twisting around to face the sarcophagus as a decomposing hand emerges, gripping the lid. With a crunch, the lid slams shut. The sarcophagus lifts, and like a vast hand just closed around it, the whole thing crumples inward. Keeps crumpling, crushing down, and a moment later, a big ball of gold studded with precious gems drops to the temple floor, rolls once, and stills. In the doorway, Mace eyes Cody, the body of the worm, the sword in Cody's grip, and lowers his hand. "I assume," he says mildly, "that you could have handled that yourself, but I saw an opportunity."
"I don't mind, believe me,"
Cody says, dust dry, and straightens. He looks Mace over, taking in the way he's favoring his right leg, the faint tremor through his muscles. "Lightning?
At least they didn't try to bite me."
Mace steps into the room, deftly avoiding the worm's coils, and says,
"I have to admit, killing a Sith warworm is much more impressive than getting rid of zombies."
Cody snorts, then turns to look for the sword's sheath. It takes him a second to find it, hung on the wall behind the statue. But before he can reach for it, it lifts from its hook and floats down to him. A little relieved not to have to get any closer, Cody hands the torch to Mace, catches the sheath, then belatedly glances down at the weapon he's holding. "I didn't know the Sith used swords," he says after a moment, holding the blade up to the light. There's a shifting pattern across the metal, something that changes every time Cody looks away for a moment, and he frowns. Mace takes a very deliberate step back. With a distinct sinking feeling, Cody looks from the sword to Mace. "Let me guess," he says, resigned. "Cursed?" Thankfully, Mace snorts, and though he looks wary, he doesn't look alarmed.
"If a Jedi tried to touch it, most likely," he says. "I can feel the dark energy surrounding it from here."
Pausing, he looks Cody over, and then asks,
"You feel all right?"
Strangely all right, actually. Cody touches the hole in his armor where one of the worm's teeth caught his arm, but the ache isn't nearly what it should be. Maybe that's adrenaline, but... "Yeah," he says suspiciously.
What's it doing to me? Mace studies the blade for a moment, then says, Healing you, I believe. A Force user might be able to direct its energies more efficiently, but since you can't, it's simply acting as it needs in order to keep you alive.
A semi-sentient sword he found in a Sith temple is healing him.
Cody pulls a face and very deliberately shoves the thing into its sheath.
It's not gonna turn me into a zombie, is it?
The faint curl of Mace's mouth is all amusement and equally unappreciated.
Well, it hasn't yet.
Thanks,
Cody mutters resentfully, and slings the sheath over his shoulder, buckling it across his chest. The sword is still strangely light, especially compared to a blaster, but he's not about to go wandering around this planet without some kind of weapon, and he appreciates something this sharp regardless of where it comes from.
Outside's clear?
For now.
Mace takes a few steps to the side, then leans down to pick up Cody's helmet and pauses. Already knowing what he'll see, Cody takes it, touching the shattered plastoid with resignation.
There's no point in taking it with them. The helmet's beyond saving. Well, I guess it's time to get a new bucket and break out the paint. That's the end of our boosted comm transmissions, too.
Mason inclines his head.
It saved your skull from being caved in, he says.
There is that, Cody acknowledges wryly.
Could have been worse, he agrees, and turns, sets the damaged helmet down on top of the dead worm's head, like claiming a trophy, and says,
Rex is never going to believe this.
I'd take a holo if I could, Mace says dryly, and Cody laughs, stepping back.
There's no space to be sentimental. His armor did its job and saved his life, and he'll get some more as soon as they're back in civilization. It's only the second helmet that he's lost, though, so maybe it's a little more regretful than it should be. To turn toward the door and leave it.
Still, he got a probably cursed sword out of the whole thing. That's nothing to sneeze at.
What are the odds that more Vornskers are waiting outside for us? He asks, catching Mace's elbow as they approach the stairs. Mace doesn't protest. Even leans a little of his weight into Cody's hand as they stagger up the staircase together.
Not high, Mace says. The zombies likely chased them off, or infected them.
Zombie Vornskers! Great!
Cody sighs, and when Mace's mouth twitches, he gives him a glare.
Don't you dare laugh! This planet needs to be carpet-bombed from one pole to the other!
One eyebrow raises, perfectly composed.
I've never laughed in my life, Mace says.
You're laughing on the inside, and my point stands.
Cody steps over a chunk of broken stone, then glances around the smaller room at the top of the steps and asks,
Worth waiting things out here for a while?
Mace pauses, glancing at the door, and then at the window overlooking the cliff. There's a bridge a short ways from them, stretching across the chasm, and a narrower one that arches away from what must be the rear entrance of the temple, ending at a jut of stone crowned with two statues. They seem ominous even from here, but at the very least it's a way out if they need it, in Cody's opinion.
We can block the door, Mace says finally. If there are any more zombies, I would rather rest before we have to face them.
The odds that there aren't are slim, Cody thinks, grimacing, but he moves to help Mace jam the door closed from where it's hanging crookedly on its hinges, then stands back as Mace floats several pieces of rubble up to brace it shut. It's not exactly a secure bunker, but good enough for now.
You all right?
He asks, watching Mace settle down beneath the window with a little less grace than normal. Mace considers the question for a long moment, then lets out a breath, leaning his head back against the wall.
I will be.
Slowly, carefully, Cody sinks down beside him.
Yeah, he says wryly, pauses, and then asks, Catching Sith lightning seems like a mixed bag. Mace opens one eye to look at him.
Like using a Sith sword to kill a warworm, he says, and closes it again. It's not a dark technique.
I didn't think it was. Cody considers him, remembering the way he moved in the street. Then clears his throat, strangely awkward.
I can see why you beat Jango. Nice fight.
Mace snorts, but one corner of his mouth pulls up.
You too, he returns. You're quite impressive.
Cody's chest feels strangely hot, and there's a flicker in his lungs that wants to be a hitching laugh, except he won't let it. Dragging his gaze away from Mace, he stubbornly fixes his eyes on the far wall, focusing on keeping his breathing steady. It's harder than it should be, and Cody can't figure out why.